So that this text, The Lines of Experience, is by Jaya Tsongkhapa, who composed different texts in the forms of the graduated path of, in general, like an extensive form, a medium form, and the condensed or abbreviated. And so this is the condensed or abbreviated form, where he put from its lines of experience, because he put forward his experience of the practices that one needed in this brief form. So it has a very extensive meaning, but quite condensed in terms of the written text. Okay, so in general, we've got three sessions this weekend. So the first one, we're going to focus on the initial being's path, and this afternoon on the intermediate beings, and then tomorrow morning on the bodhicitta, and then the remainder of the text we'll go on to when Geshe-la comes back in June, and we'll use the same sequence where Geshe-la goes through the explanation, and then we have some time for question and answer, and then we finish with a meditation or reflection on what's been taught.
What's the meaning of the, when you said the different types of the beings? The
initial and intermediate and Nanzo kibu chunga kibu dreng kibu chimbo te dun karres.
Tadi te kibu namjo nanzo te kibu tadi nam namesho na kibu chunga dreng chimbo si. Tadi ti she de karres na kibu chunga si na. Ta se korbe monto tam. Tendunyi kansa chila ta tiang korang korang tundu rang chibu tundu korba yi mandu da ta te kibu chungu di la yin pina ne peri bata uchina sum shigirirwa se di korbe mandu zam tendunyi ching chirwa chue mayin beku ne chue mayin beku ne se di mandu zam tendunyi ching chirwa anda chue da chumi ki ane yawa korbe mandu tendunyi ching chirwa
Okay. So the first in text that uses this terminology of the initial, intermediate, and great being, and the initial or Beginner's a bit tricky. Beginner's not quite. There is another term I can't think of, but not so much beginner, but an initial or a practitioner or a small capacity practitioner. That's the other term they use. Where someone for themselves alone is trying to accomplish the happiness of cyclic existence. And so then if they go into detail, then they look at someone from three points of view, that same grouping of the initial being of small capacity from three stages or levels of someone who thinks only of this life and tries to gain the happiness of cyclic existence in this life by non-dharma means, not through spiritual practice, just through ordinary means. And then second level is someone who's trying to attain the happiness of this life, but they use both dharma and ordinary means to try and get their happiness. And then the third level is someone who's actually focused on future lives and is trying to get the happiness of cyclic existence for themselves alone, but thinking of means to do that for future lives. So that then the intermediate being, or being of medium capacity, is someone who sees that the happiness of cyclic who does not seek the happiness of cyclic existence. They see that happiness of cyclic existence is unreliable. It has no essence. There is no enduring quality to it. So therefore they look for an enduring happiness and therefore think to attain, for their own purpose, to attain liberation.
Simjin shengi dungdu ta ane tharpa sanamindu ta tharpa chorwa sanjiya gomba tundi nyinga ta rangchibu samla matama chay simjin shengi samtangirwa o tund simjin shengi dungdu ta sanjiya gomba tundi nyinga ta tal kibu chimbu slagiris ta kajita ta kibu chungu ding chimbu sayati sambay guni shagiris ta sim ta sim top chay chungruwa sim ki samlo tanda gyane karso dungba yorwa o ti guni dus.
So that, and then the great being is one who thinks not just of themselves but of all sentient beings and other sentient beings, and therefore for the purpose of other sentient beings seeks to attain the supreme liberation, referring to the attainment of Buddhahood. So not thinking of oneself alone but for other sentient beings seeking to attain Buddhahood. But the thing to understand is these terms of initial, intermediate, medium and great, or small capacity, medium capacity, great, describes their thought, the vastness or
aspiration.
Yeah, the strength or the smallness or vastness of their aspiration, of their intention. Sharon, you had something.
I did at the beginning. I couldn't hear who it was written by.
Jetsongkapa. Jerembushe.
And
But when you're looking at it in terms of practice, and it is explained, then are not the practice is not merely the initial being's practice or the medium being's practice. It is, they have this term, the common practices of the initial or the intermediate being. And that's because those, when we engage in the great being's practice, that needs to be preceded by the levels of practice of the initial being and the intermediate being. But so they talk about them not as merely that practice, but as the common path, the common practices of those beings.
Yes.
Okay. So to use an example to illustrate it, if you took the reflections on cause and result and action and result and of reflecting on impermanence and taking refuge, that these would fall as the common practices of the initial being, because they're actually practices which all three levels of beings must practice. So for example, even the intermediate practitioner would be using that as part of their preliminary practices. So now referring to the text, so this begins on the right hand of the first page where you've got lines of experience in verse 1. So when the text is composed, it begins with this homage or prostration. So different homages, like to the Supreme Deity, to the lineage, the teachers of the lineage, or one's own teacher. But there's this first offering of homage. Okay, so therefore, because the Dharma was first taught by Shakyamuni, then the first verse offers homage to Shakyamuni. I prostrate before you, Buddha, head of the Shakya clan. Your enlightened body is born out of 10 million of positive virtues and perfect accomplishments. Your enlightened speech grants the wishes of limitless beings. Your enlightened mind sees all nobles as they are. And then from the Buddha, then you have the lineage of the profound and vast teachings, and the profound teachings being held by Manjushri and the extensive by Maitreya. So the second verse then goes on to offer this homage to the lineage lamas embodied in Maitreya and Manjushri holding these two, the profound and the vast teachings. Okay, so then through the next two verses, then it goes on again to praise the qualities of the lineage lamas. I prostrate before your feet, Nagarjuna, and the Sangha, embellishments of our southern conduct, highly famed throughout the three realms. You have commented on the most difficult to fathom mother of the Buddhas, according to exactly what was intended. I bow to Dipankara, a teacher, holder of a treasure of instructions, all the complete, unmistaken points concerning the paths of profound view and widespread actions, all vast. Transmitted intact from these two great forerunners can be included within it. So the Nagarjuna and Asanga, Nagarjuna holding the extensive lineage from Manjushri, and Asanga holding, sorry, the profound lineage from Manjushri, and Asanga holding the extensive or widespread action lineage from Maitreya, were called the great charioteers or great forerunners.
What's the difference between profound and extensive?
So profound refers to the view, the understanding of emptiness. Then the extensive or widespread action is the relates to the nature of the path, the different explanations of the path, the practices of bodhicitta. And so from Nagarjuna and Asanga, the lineage went down, and to one lama, Rigpe Khuchu, and then Sirlingpa, that also from Asanga, to Sirlingpa, the lama of the golden arms. And so these two lineages came to Atisha, and Atisha then came to Tibet, and so brought the two lineages into Tibet. And then verse 5 was Jai Rinpoche's offering of homage to his own teachers. Respectfully, I prostrate before my own spiritual masters. You are the eyes allowing disciples to behold all of the infinite spiritual pronouncements, the best forward for those of good fortune to cross to liberation. You make everything clear through your skillful deeds, which are moved by intense loving concern.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. So then verse 6 talks about these texts, about the composition of this text and where this arose from in terms of the texts from which it arose. So that this was coming from the lineage of instructions from Nagarjuna and Asanga, transmitted intact by those who followed in order, both from Nagarjuna and Asanga, those crowning jewels of all erudite masters of our southern continent, banner of whose fame stands out above the masses. As following these stages can fulfill every desirable aim of all nine kinds of beings, they are a power-granting king of precious instruction, because they collect the streams of thousands of excellent classics. They are indeed an ocean of illustrious correct explanation. So this desirable aim, that the instructions of this text inspires someone to engage in the path that leads them from the lower realms to a happy rebirth, inspires someone to enter into the path that leads from a happy rebirth to liberation, or from to enter the path that leads to Buddhahood. So it can fulfill every desirable aim of all kinds of beings. Okay, so then having talked about these texts, then it talks about the qualities of the text. So that the qualities of the text speak of four qualities and three greatnesses and so forth. But in essence, so this is in verse 7, that this when one has understood the Lamrim well, these graduated teachings well, you understand that there is nothing incompatible in all Buddhist teachings. it makes every scriptural pronouncement dawn on your mind as a personal guideline, a personal instruction for practice. It makes it easy to discover what the Buddha intended and protects you well from the abyss of the great mistake. So that often people can see the teachings of the Buddha thinking that sutra and tantra are incompatible, or that the practices of Vinaya and self-discipline are incompatible with tantra. If you understand the Lamrim well, then you understand how these instructions are not incompatible. And then likewise, if you look at the Dharma, there are kind of so many teachings given. And if you understand the Lamrim well, then you understand where those teachings would be applied, how they are applied as a practice. And then understanding the Lamrim makes it easy to discover what the Buddha intended, that all the many teachings were given to bring about liberation from cyclic existence. So like, this is the final intention. And then protecting from the great mistake. Again, because the Buddha gave many teachings in accordance with the needs and characteristics, different needs, characteristics and thoughts of beings, then sometimes people are misunderstood, and they kind of denigrate or dismiss things as not being correct. Whereas if you understand, again, then you the Lamrim, you understand how the Buddha taught in all these many ways for beings. Okay, so then further than that, they give three great characteristics. And the first of these is that the teachings of this graduated path, its focus is that it is principally explaining the stages of how to subdue our mind. And therefore it explains it in a way that it is easy to practice. And the illustration for this, they use it, if you're going to cook, if you've got initially all the different foods like vegetables and rice and so on, everything's different. But if you put it all together into a ready prepared meal, it's ready to eat there and then. And the graduated path, the Lamrim, is like that kind of ready prepared meal. It's ready to practice.
Sorry, I'm just thinking, if you've got all the ingredients, it's not ready to eat.
Exactly. So the Lamrim is like having put those all together and made the meal that's ready prepared to eat.
Right.
So it's not just the information, it's set out there like the ready a prepared practice meal. Then its second great quality is that, again, there are many instructions of both in both sutra and tantra, and these are all contained within the Lamrim instructions. So it is complete.
Loma ane pasore lo mata la masile impata ane vipi kuchu nyingi ane menga ki kiemba sunta ane kare ti nyi kiemba sunta ane kare tati nyi chika treba kwa
de
kwenye ki menga ki kiende yores ane shungu shele kipa ta papa res kanje kata kumbulu tu ta papa tame nyi di ane sanje korangi lungi simbe ane lungi simbe dire diorwa tepa jayosi tati nyi ki kakswe loma nyi ki menga ki kiende tenyi ka ane choji ki ane jebarwa choji ngusi je menga ki kiende yorwa.
Okay. So then the third great quality is that it is kind of supreme beyond other texts because of it containing all the instructions that came from Nagarjuna, Asanga and their followers Rigpa Khuchu and the Lama from the Golden Isles, which those instructions came down to Atisha. So again, all this complete instruction based on the transmission of the Buddha isn't contained within this text, giving it this great quality.
Mila Pashepa, Sanjay, and Chubuki, the Shido Sunday, the summer shape, a pair. Searching nearby and a near Sanjay Chubuki, Mamusun, the summer nearby pair. I am lechaba and at the summer name lechaba pair, do your etcheta. Tati, should I get lapchimore, did my shaggy his head?
Okay, so then, so having talked about these four characteristics and these three great qualities, then he goes on to make his promise of composition of because of these four benefits, what discriminated person amongst their erudite must in the Tibet will not have his or her mind be completely taken by these stages of the path arranged according to the three levels of motivation, those three levels of beings we talked about before, the supreme instructions to which many fortunate ones have devoted themselves. Although there is much merit to be gained from listening to or reciting even once this brief manner of Atisha's text, in which can be included the essential points of all the scriptural pronouncements, it is certain you will amass even greater waves of beneficial collections from actually teaching and studying the sacred Dharma contained within. Therefore, consider the points for doing this properly, so that that in what he's composing is this text that contains the stages of the path, which again contains the essence of all the 84,000 teachings of the Buddha. And so by even listening one time to it, you get the benefit as if you listened to all the 84,000 teachings of the Buddha. Then not only that benefit, if you went further and actually practiced it, then it is like practicing all the instructions that the Buddha gave. So it is a very kind of powerful teaching to practice. Okay, so then I want to add that that if we're looking at like a brief meditation, a glance meditation on the Lam Rim, then still this lines of experience is quite extensive. But there is the kind of more condensed form, which is the basis of all good qualities, which is like a brief covering of all these stages of the path. And so it's very easy to use that on a daily basis to either recite it or to briefly meditate on all the stages of the path. So the basis of all good qualities was a brief, complete form that Jai Rinpoche composed. So this up to here completes the homage of the text, the preliminary, and it comes then to the actual body of the text. And so it begins by looking at reliance on virtuous friend, which is the root of the path, and then the actual stages of training the mind in the path. So it begins because, and this is the same sequence that you find in the longer Lam Rim graduated path text. If you're going to train your mind in the stages of the path, then you need to have someone who shows you the stages of the path. So that is the virtuous friend or the teacher that you rely on. So there's the reliance on one who shows you the path so that you can then train in the path. So the first verse 9 is after having... You should take refuge. You should see that the root cause excellently propitious for as great a mass of good fortune as possible for this and future lives. It's proper zealous devotion and thoughts and actions to your sacred guru, sacred teacher, shows you the path to enlightenment. Thus, you should please him by offering your practice of exactly what he says, which you would not forsake even at the cost of your life. Either yogi have practiced just that. You would also seek liberation, please cultivate yourself in the same way. Yes. Okay. So then, in terms of the virtuous friend, the friend who is showing the stages of the path, that it's not just that you meet them and therefore you're a teacher. First, you check. You engage in checking whether you see faults in that as the teacher, whether the way they teach it kind of it appeals to you, appeals. It's comfortable. And then, so having engaged in checking, then if you rely on that person as your teacher, then there are two ways of relying in terms of one's intention and through action. In terms of one's intention or thought, it is one cultivates the basis of faith and confidence in one's teacher, and generating respect by seeing, remembering their kindness. So that this cultivation of faith is that one may see faults, but over if you know you've decided that a person's your teacher, then you may see faults, but you can't not immediately determining, well, that must be a fault, because that is realizing it's not necessarily a fault just because you see it in a certain way, and thus cultivating faith. And then respect in terms of seeing their kindness is because seeing that the main kindness being that they show you the stages of the path, and so cultivating respect through that kindness. And then action is to accomplish what they say, but what that you have been taught, but what you have the principal advice or thing that one is taught is to engage in Dharma practice. So what your action should be is to be practicing as you have been taught. So I'm covering these in brief. Either yoga have practiced just that. If you would also seek liberation, please cultivate yourself in the same way. So there's always this last two sentences where he's saying, this is the way I practiced. And so therefore you who are listening, the students, you wishing to attain liberation, please practice this in the same way. Geshe says there's so Tam Gor not like Geshe Lan there's so So that the first, when Jai Rinpoche composed the text, it was as it's been translated here, where he speaks of himself saying, either yogi have practiced that. If you, the students, would also seek liberation, please practice this in the same way. But some of the later texts have written those two lines more like a prayer, saying that the Venerable Lama, Jai Rinpoche, practiced in that way. May I come also to be able to practice like this. Nicole, you had a question.
Oh, it's just about, it says, the teacher, what if you have more than... do you have one person you call the teacher?
Right. Guardians in India, the teacher, the Kanzak Chiknanshan. So, you know, and there's also Gegen Mambu, you know, Karija. Yeah, okay. So that it's not actually the teacher. You generally, teacher will cover many, you know, people have more than one teacher. So So having moved from this reliance on the virtuous friend, then one comes to the actual training one's mind in the stages of the path. Generally training one's mind in the stages of the path. And so the first is the urge or inspiring us to take the essence of the freedom and endowment that we have as humans, and then the way of taking the essence of our freedom and endowment. Okay. So first this inspiration or urge to take the essence of this human life, so that this working basis, the human body, with having liberties and endowments, is superior to a wish-granting gem, a wish-fulfilling gem. Moreover, such is only obtained this very one time. Difficult to acquire and easily lost, passes like lightning in the sky. Considering this and realizing all worldly activities are like chaff, the husk of the grain, immaterial as chaff, you must try to take advantage of its essential significance, its essence, at all times, day and night. Either you've practiced this way, please practice, cultivate yourself in the same way. So that, why is our human life more precious than a wish-fulfilling gem? Because a wish-fulfilling gem will only fulfill the physical needs of this life, the wealth and needs of this life. It doesn't accomplish anything that will benefit future lives. Whereas when we use our human life for practice, we can accomplish the benefit of future lives. We can free ourselves from cycling existence. We can come to attain liberation. We can come to attain Buddhahood. So then the next sentence, such is it only obtained this very one time. That, yes, there will have been times in previous lives when we have had human rebirth, but if thinking about lives since beginningless time, that we had, because then one takes many different rebirths, sometimes suffering rebirths, sometimes happy, that the number of times we have taken like happy or good rebirth are very few compared to the number of times we've had suffering rebirth. So they use this kind of analogy that it's only obtained this very one time because it's a rare thing to attain.
Turwata
Okay, so that's then it's difficult to acquire and easily lost, like passes like lightning in the sky. The difficult to acquire refers to the rarity or the difficulty of actually gaining human life with freedom and endowment. Generally, when you go into it in more detail, then you look at difficulty in terms of causes, in terms of illustrations of that, and nature. So, for example, looking at the causes of such a human life are at least keeping one aspect of ethics, combining that with stainless prayers, and supporting it with other virtues like the practice of generosity and so forth. And so so the rarity of causes is like why it is difficult to acquire. And that then there can be people who have freedom and endowment as a human, but they don't use it for Dharma practice. So to within kind of humans with the potential for it, there are a much smaller number who actually make use of that potential by practicing.
Just want to ask a question about the suffering life or the non-suffering life. Doesn't it not matter whether you have a suffering life or a not suffering life, because it's what you do with it anyway?
Right.
So it's kind of immaterial.
Probably Nyendro suffering life. Nyendro de probably I should clarify what suffering life is. Not just talking about whether you're human or not, but whether you have a rebirth, the actual rebirth.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess I was thinking of it in terms of, you know, how much challenge you have
as a human. Yeah.
Me.
Yeah, me. More me samotangi.
Me.
Dungal you make kibra me sozo de nyamlen chetan kel chambore sozo samba. Same la drutan ke o chambures. Inande dendro dan gendro de kewa rang kewa yorwa.
Kewa rang
kewa yorwa. So when you speak of suffering life, gendro in probably gendro suffering transit. I'm just trying to think of it. There are different translations, but it's not as a human. Nyendro is generally Dendro is Dendro me da la. Yes. So when you get this term of between a happy rebirth and a suffering rebirth, happy rebirth encompasses human, whether there is suffering or happiness, just to be a human is a good rebirth, and human and the God realm is a good rebirth, whereas suffering birth is more to do with sentient beings like the animals and insects that we see.
Ale semje ina ye pena penje megivele ye phana ya ya tetele yang kochi sosa khala te re de sara te ge samat spa te je yore me tu sto de je yore wa.
So those are kind of the general terms between a suffering rebirth and a happy rebirth, referring to generally human and gods. But then you can also get the circumstance where if you're looking at human rebirth, someone may have the virtuous karma that has caused them to have a good rebirth as a human, but have lots of negative completing karma, so that as a human they have a very difficult, strong suffering in their life. Or you can have a being who their throwing karma was non-virtuous in terms of causing them to have an animal rebirth, but they have lots of good completing karma, and as an animal they always have someone who gives them food, who looks after them, and kind of good circumstances as an animal.
Soju pambe kewe leji che na ya dendru luyut thap dhugurwa, dendru luyut thap na ya ane ko de kharsvore ya dedela chik chimba tangwa la sobarwa chimba tangwa re tanga na jingi yota chik me la roa che la sora she sanje she la roa che tine bache na ane soju pambe kewe le chanki dendru luyut kewa langare te ya ane dendru luyut thap na zoje ta ko tiga na ya megewa mangpa sayo na kwa tiki megewa shenpe na
So there are two aspects from in terms of karma, that which is propels, like referring to that which brings about the rebirth, and then what is completing karma, which is the circumstances that you find yourself in that rebirth. So someone may have a good rebirth in terms of they have, for example, refrained from abandoned killing in terms of their actions previously, and because of that abandonment of killing, they have taken a good rebirth as a human, happy rebirth. But they may not have engaged in other actions like benefiting people or creating generosity, and they may have harmed people. And then, so the completing karma, they may find themselves very poor as a human, or, you know, in circumstances of great difficulty. Like propelling karma and completing karma. So another example could be like our cats and dogs, where the throwing karma was a non-virtuous karma that produced a rebirth as a cat or a dog, but their completing karma is, if it is good, then they will have a very good owner who looks after them, and they gives good food, and they have a place to stay that's protected from the weather, and that they're cared for. Whereas there can be those who have human birth, who, while you can say it's a good birth, that they can have negative or difficult completing karma. For example, they may have sufferings due to like weather and outer elements of external environment, or through wars and fighting, or simply through lack of food and famine and so on. So they can, if you're looking at it from a karmic point of view, there are karmas that bring about the different circumstances. De geshla chikde nazo the more powerful some of the ngazo similar kind of, you know, ngazo similar drug to what they made ngazo cancer Jimmy Dan Tudro similar the gozo samba drug matua ngazo me kewalendo kind of, you know, ngazo the samba drug to what
that's right. That is the Tudro la Tudro to one she got this le cinco passero cinque cinque passero la semi camion de se matera chiva milata mila namje shepa ko wangi so so kange ne sem kange re kange samtane tutte shi ke ba chi
yeah so one through the difference that you can make between like having an animal rebirth and a human rebirth that one of the sufferings of being of being an animal is it kind of being I think literally they translate it as being stupid in the sense of not being able to solve think use their mind to kind of solve their problems, whereas a human has that ability to use their mental capacity to solve problems and overcome suffering. Mm-hmm. So again, that's a difference between why one would be qualified as good as opposed to suffering, because as a human you have that potential to use your mind. Yeah, because you can't solve your problems in the same way.
And especially to be able to then live your life in a way to actually improve your chance of good rebirth.
Yeah. And then to draw the Kewa Chimala Pemba Drug Matova, the me Kewa Chimala Pemba Drug Togia. Yes.
Tamil?
Yes.
Tedela Kevele Sayare Tavanji Kewa Chima Penjela Pemen Lemonchetua.
Yes, so yes, that. Humans can use this life to accomplish virtue, to do many things that will bring about benefit for future lives. Okay, then we were in Daljo, near Kawadang. Okay, so then in terms of practicing and in with making use of taking the essence of this of the freedom and endowment, the human life we have, first is to identify that we have. You identify it, you see its potential, and you realize it's rare to find it. You identify it because by seeing that you have the freedom and endowment that you have, that you cultivate joy and appreciation of what you have. And because if you don't identify it, you can use your life just for this lifetime. that the analogy they use is if someone has, you know, the fireplace where they used to use three stones to cook the meal on, a tripod of three stones on the fireplace for cooking. If one of those stones was gold, but the family didn't know, then they would keep just using it as a fireplace and gain no benefit. If they know that one is gold, then they can take it and sell it, and the family, can have a better life and become wealthy. But so this is like whether you identify what you have or not. If you identify it, then you can do a kind of, it can bring you great joy and appreciation, and you can make use of it. So then the great potential, and this is touches on the point of the sharpness of mind of humans as opposed to the animal realm, that you can see the what you can accomplish as a human, that you can accomplish the benefit of future lives and the potential you have. So, and then the difficulty of acquiring that, these circumstances again and again, realizing it's not easy to find such circumstances again and again. So having identified it and realized your potential, you determine to actually practice and make use of it. Okay, so then having inspired ourselves to take the essence of this life, how do we take the essence? We bring about the essence by bringing about change in our mind. That when we cycle in cycling existence, because we don't understand our mind and how to think, we are driven by afflictive emotion and creating and non-virtue. Whereas when we understand that we need to change our mind, then we then determine to engage in the stages of practice. And so we understand that one takes up practice, that by practicing in with through the stages of the initial, the intermediate, and the great being. So then thinking to train one's mind, one begins with the common path of the initial being. And so that has the two aspects. One of generating the mind that thinks of future lives, that sees that one needs to change one's mind in order to bring about benefit in future lives. And then secondly, the methods that will bring about, the actual methods one will rely on to accomplish happiness in future lives. So that you think of future lives that you can bring, through changing your mind, you can bring about the attainment of happy rebirth of good circumstances. And then the second aspect of that is the methods that you're actually applying to accomplish that.
Some ちょっと待って。ちょっと待って。ちょっと待って。ちょっと待って。ちょっと待って。ちょっと待って。ちょっと待って。ちょっと待って。ちょっと待って。ちょっと待って。ちょっと待って。ちょっと待って。ちょっと待って。ちょっと待って。ちょっと待って。ちょっと待って。ちょっと待って。ちょっと待って。ちょっと待って。ちょっと待って。ちょっと待って。ちょっと待って。ちょっと待って。ちょっと待って。ちょっと待って。ちょっと待って。ちょっと待って。ちょっと待って。ちょっと待って。ちょっと待って。ちょっと待って。ちょっと待って。ちょっと待って。ちょっと待って。ちょっと待って。ちょっと待って。ちょっと待って。ちょっと待って。ちょっと待って。ちょっと待って。ちょっと待って。ちょっと待って。ちょっと待って。ちょっと待って。ちょっと待って。ちょっと待って。ちょっと待って。ちょ ti yomarwa
me
ti kese de to nyendu lu chi den suna da chi me sa bashire de yorwa o tu suna da me da wa samba da nyendu samba nyendu to samba te tene yugo
okay so then so this in giving rise this to this thought that sex to accomplish the benefit of future lives, then one thinks on impermanence and suffering realms or unfortunate states is what he's translated here. And there's actually just the first sentence of verse 11, after death there is no assurance you will not be reborn in one of the three unfortunate states. So that the freedom and endowment we have now is not something that continually remains. We're in a state of perishing, of passing, moving towards death, and definitely at some point in time future life will arise, and at that time it's the rebirth one takes is not simply what one wants to take, and so it depends on one's actions. And if one was to take rebirth in an unfortunate state or a suffering state, that would be an unbearable circumstance, an unbearable thing. So one reflects to give rise to the thought of accomplishing benefit for future lives. One reflects on these two aspects of impermanence and the uncertainty, no assurance or certainty that one may not be born in a suffering state.
Payade Karasana, same thing, give a pacha shach of a tiki pengris. Pengris, the mother paying Marisa, who do some at the river. To some, and a Yabatu, Tanyam Lungo Matilla, choose to go attach a roa, should they are companion to go attach another, should watch a wholesome, should watch a kitchen bush. Same Juju, the Chunyam Natcha, kitchen bush. Take a chimbush to go some major water till that was a codevachina in the chiba.
Yes. And so then to talk in a brief, kind of basic way about the way to reflect on impermanence and death. The main three aspects one reflects on is that death definitely comes about, but the time is uncertain. And that at death time, it's only one's spiritual practice that will be of benefit. So we all know that definitely some point death will occur. However, we don't know when that's going to happen. It's uncertain. And when we get to that point, it's only the virtuous imprints that we have placed on our mind that will be of benefit. Nothing else is going to help us. And so or no other material things are going to help us. And so from that you come to this determination that you need to practice Dharma, engage in spiritual practice, that you will engage from now, and that this is going to be kind of one of the most important principal things in your life, that this Dharma practice to produce change in your mind is going to be something that you hold as a very important thing in your life.
Mm.
Okay, so then the second aspect is this thing of an unfortunate or suffering state. So that those who taking rebirth in a hellish realm means one has intense suffering of heat and cold. In the realms of hungry ghosts is of hunger and thirst, and in the animal realms suffering from foolishness and stupidity. And so these reflections are to move one's mind from to thinking of future lives. Because if we don't think of these things, then we can get just completely caught up only thinking about this life.
Just what was the first realm? There was the hungry ghosts, the animals, and the
hellish realms.
Okay,
so then from that thought, having turned one's mind to think of future lives, then you think, well, what is the method that's actually going to use to attain happiness in future life? And so then this comes from the rest of verse 11. Nevertheless, it is certain that the three jewels of refuge have the power to protect you from their terrors, referring to the unfortunate states. For this reason, your taking of refuge should be extremely solid, and you should follow its advice without ever letting your commitments weaken. Moreover, so doing depends on your considering thoroughly which are the black or white karmic actions together with their results, and then living according to the guides of what is to be adopted or rejected. I have practiced that way. If you would seek liberation, please cultivate yourself in the same. So this is talking about the methods that you're using, and one of these is refuge. But the most important thing is, from that refuge, then one thinks of action and result. That if you are creating virtuous actions, those virtuous actions place imprints on your mind, and those imprints are what produce happiness and a good rebirth in future lives. So this, he's trying to emphasize in this the importance of thinking about action and result.
Is that the black and white karma?
Black is Mabuda Megewa. Non-virtuous is black, virtuous being white. Okay, so just briefly to talk about refuge, that the Buddha being the founder, having attained the state of Buddhahood, and the founder of the teachings, the actual refuge is the teachings themselves, the Dharma is referred to the actual refuge, and that refers to the truth of the path and the truth of cessation. And then the spiritual community, the Sangha, are those who help us accomplish the path.
Is the Sangha just related to the lamas, or is it related to us all?
Okay. Gedun de should I say, instead of lamas, should I say monks?
Yeah, yeah.
Or then given drapa chebo rest
thawa chebo mar kinti te tere ane topa top de ka pena to yung musum tu to sa ge ka sa pa 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 pe ka sa ta so ta pe ka sa re
so the sangha is not only the monks. It actually refers to those who have the realizations, particularly the realizations of emptiness and Arya being.
The monk in a tawa in a tawa de tawa the house tawa de tawa penanga tawa in a tawa tanda tawa topa mataka mongwa. So that the chigla kindi sing for it. Gelong shits of mana kindi.
Okay, so then if you consider the monks, there are lots of monks with no realization, and one monk actually doesn't represent the Sangha. They say that that when you have fully ordained monks gathered together, they have a relative, they represent the relative Sangha. Then Nazo me chuzo yonken la yenden chuzo chuzo
chuzo re ma tanda gente kyapsu mi na yongo
ma. Yes, so the people who come to the center really are like Dharma friends rather than specifically fitting as Sangha.
So, if you are Dharma friend, even he or she lay people, but she or he has a realization, kerva, as you written, there may be sangha.
Yeah.
Then you can
say that would be sangha.
Consider the sangha.
Yeah.
Sangha, you know. Sangha.
And it's that realization.
Yeah, sangha related. Sangha. Community related for realization.
Yeah, so the name is actually given to those with the realization.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So if we talk about how one is taking refuge, like we generally recite the words of refuge and so on. So one is taking refuge in terms of the Buddha as the founder, thinking, kind of having the thought that whatever happiness or suffering arises, this getting to the stage of kind of like, you know, the just the sense, whatever happiness or suffering arises, one takes refuge. The Buddha knows all this. Then true, the Dharma is what we actually practice. So this is Dharma teaching is what we're thinking to actually practice. And then the spiritual practitioners, the Gidin, the Sangha community, that they have practiced the teachings, and that likewise one will follow them in this practice. What's the time?
12:05.
Which is a tuni. Yeah, since I don't
Camera
check. Yeah, okay. Right. Okay, so we'll do cause and effect this afternoon with the intermediate beings practice. And have you, out of what we've covered this morning, have you kind of gained something to think about? Yeah, sure.
Would they come back to the animals?
Sometimes
I have the experience of my cats coming and sitting with me to learn about being human. And I've done this thing where I've tuned into their consciousness and imparted a little. And it kind of goes in a little way, but there's like a limit.
Right.
And then you kind of come up against this kind of wall, and the cat will just kind of go, no, that's it, had enough, and it kind of takes off.
Yeah.
But it kind of feels like it's sort of an okay thing to do. Is that
right.
An okay thing to do?
Because
it feels like the cat's coming and asking for that.
Yeah. Why shimmy you? That's pingris, that's shimmy, the carasuras, the hammer gone, the yanchu drogados. In a moran takran de chegina digrois. Yeah, this is okay, this is good. Yeah.
So is that like the way of kind of the bridging? Is that because it kind of, you know, there are different levels of consciousness and with the different level three cats, they're not the same. And so is it like a way of kind of bridging that gap between the animal and the human life, that they do this as a way of preparing themselves for becoming human?
All right. The gods or Shimina Gemma Migi Kewa la Lemwa de Gozo Tradak Bakchak Nanjan Rues. Tradak Nanjan Rues. Well, the term that would be used is like this would place imprints. You would say this could place imprints.
So in this case, maybe you better is it the better try to make imprint Dharma thing, you know? For example, listening the prayers, listening the prayers, like sutra, heart sutra or these things, it's good for cat to make imprint.
Yes. So they can hear. Through hearing they get imprints, and so it's good for them to hear Dharma, hear the Heart Sutra, hear your prayers.
Or maybe, these are the good things, and reciting mantras like Om Mani Padme Hum, or you know. There is a story that in Tibet, one monk, he would like to make imprint other lay people. So, and then, the Namkhen? Namkhen means
all-knowing mind.
Buddha mind,
Yeah, Buddha mind.
So he would like to imprint that way to other people, other people. So he went to, he went to market and asked somebody, are you selling namkin? The people don't understand, what is the namkin? So they're saying two, three times, Namkin. Oh, I don't have. We are not selling namkin. Okay, and then next shop you go to. Are you selling namkin? What is the namkin? Yeah, you're saying few times, so it makes imprint. So the 1 month he did that.
Yeah.
There is also there's other story that. The Indian master, her son,
Vasubandhu.
Oh, Vasubandhu. He was he in his cave. He's meditating in his cave. He was reciting Jambetsenju, the text called Jambetsenju.
Names of Manjushri.
Yeah, he was reciting loudly. And then there's a pigeon. Pigeon always there, you know. Pigeon listening all the time. He's reciting that text. And later, anyway, that pigeon is next to life. Born in women or in India, and anyway, that monk, his kind of, when he grew up, he's like a that text is like a kind of already memorized. So he become the Vasubandhu's student. Yeah. Story.
Yes, I have a question that's not really related to the teachings today, but Claire and Paul and I were talking about it on Wednesday, and we were wondering why there's the bell, especially in the Tara practice. What's the purpose of ringing the bell?
Trouble, trouble, they don't carry you.
Okay. So bell ringing, the bell is kind of offering the sound.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Offering the sound, yeah. And also there's many things. There's kind of the also the emptiness sound.
Emptiness sound.
And you know, bell, there is a lot of explanation, bell, how the shape of bell, you know, how, generally this is offering of sound.
Right. Yeah, in general, so first level of explanation, you're offering sound.
Yeah, and
could be mindfulness, to bring your concentration back to the practice.
There's also tremba yongwa de pendo yorweste trulu.
Tremba yongwa pendo yorweste trulu. Tachidane,
Yes, it could act as a function to help settle your mindfulness. It's if you were to speak about it in general, it is the offering of sound.
Actually, the bell and vajra, that symbolize many.
So there's lots of explanations on the different symbolism of the bell and the vajra, like method and wisdom and.
So
method for the vajra, wisdom.
Yeah, actually, bell and vajra is mostly symbolist related to tantra. Tantra, yeah. Yes, yeah. Lot of explanation there to remind the Theravada Ching.
To help you remind of bliss and emptiness. So that means to. Like mindful, being mindful, remembering bliss and emptiness.
Okay.
So the dhammaru is the small hand drum. One is again the offering of sound, and two is it's said to invoke the dakinis.
And
the dakinis, the gagos.
In monastery, you know, that we don't do here. In monastery, there's many long, and then drums. All these are sound offering. Sound offering.
Horns.
Sound.
And to invite the
king.
Well, the hand drum, the little hand drum, especially the king. Tingsha.
It is also, sounds of it. Sounds of that.
Choko, that's mixer, you're right. Choko, Tingsha, la, Biju Chewa.
Manche, the Yungudwa, the Gudwa Masum, Gidi, Tingsha, Yungudwa.
Okay, so the little flat symbols, they generally, again, offering sound, it's more, they're mostly found in the three lower tantras, and particularly Akshin Tantra.
And then small, Kandong
Yerwa. Kandong. Horn. Yeah. Kandong. Small horn.
And the bowls that you
read. Sound bowls. I don't know, I've never seen them.
Kandong.
Yeah.
Kandong.
All right. No, that's the the thigh bone trumpet. Thigh bone trumpet is to remind you of impermanence.
Impermanence.
I have to say that the sound bowls.
Yeah.
I've never seen them used in Tibet. I know they always call them Tibetan.
So this is not yet. Tibet, we don't use this much, but here they
like them.
Yeah,
and they call them Tibetan bowls.
They're using these, like, yeah.
Tibetan singing bowls. Tibetans never use them.
Somebody says healing bowl. Healing bowl.
English in the Menchu Nanshan rest. Menchu Nanshan.
Menchu.
Menchu, the Zubunala, the Lung Yambu Chea. Get your dose.
So I wonder where they originate from then.
I mean, maybe there were certain parts that used them or something, but it's just not so common.
The sound carries beautifully on.
People use it on message too. Sometimes.
Yes,
yeah, main tribute to us is Sigurdus. Can we stop here, or you want to do 5 minutes meditation? And we can stop.
Stop
meditation. Stop. What? Sorry. Ningung Jela, Tambu Des Gom Gap. Okay, so
we do the meditation after next session together.
Yeah, the beginning of next session. Okay. Press the button.
We do have.